Springfield's Talk 104.1. My name is Nick Reed. Welcome to the show. It is the 7 o'clock hour, and on a Thursday, which means Christy Fulnecki is joining us. We will chat with her here in just a couple of moments. Now, tomorrow we will be broadcasting live from Scrambler's Friday Roadshow, sponsored by Affordable Towing. We will have Best of Monday. We're usually, well, our company does give us a paid day tomorrow so that we can observe Good Friday. They also allow us, they give us a little bit of leeway if we want to use it at a later date. And since I was gone last Friday, I didn't want to be gone from Scramblers two Fridays in a row. And so we are going to have a Best of on Monday, on Easter Monday. We're going to take that observation day. So just a bit of a programming note for you there. The America Transmissions Talk and Text Line, 447-KSGF. Also, something for you to register. It's one of these real quick and easy registrations. Oh, I don't have it open. Okay, so if you go to KSGF.com, I'm going to get her open so I can get you the deets here. It's called, we're calling it like a prize in a box sort of deal. And you register, I believe tomorrow is the last day of registration, I believe. And it is a spring fling date in a box. So I guess it comes in a box. You will get a prize from Wonders of Wildlife, Dogwood Canyon, and the Ozark Mill at Finley Farms. Just go to KSGF.com, and you can register for that there. Jason Ryman now with the latest news update. The first alert forecast, sponsored by St. Clair of the Ozarks Home Improvements. There is going to be widespread frost still until 9 o'clock this morning, at least for some of the area. Otherwise, it will be a sunny day with a high of 63, clouds increasing tonight with a low of 46. A chance for showers and thunderstorms on Friday with a high of 68, and Saturday, partly sunny with a high of 60. The keyword competition deal that we have going on for gas, the free gas giveaway. We're going to finish it out next Friday. So you've got today, you have tomorrow, and then you have next Monday through Friday to listen around 7:11, 7:10, 7:11 in the morning. Is it 7:10 or 7:11? I don't know why all of a sudden I forgot. I was thinking
it
was 7:10.
It's supposed to be 7:11.
Okay.
But
well, that's what time it is. So
there you go.
In 9 seconds. So I'm going to give you time to listen throughout the day. And when you listen, you'll hear a keyword given, text it in, and that will make you eligible. Each of those keywords is a different entry for a different free gas giveaway prize. 8:34 this morning, 11:34 this morning, 1:34 this afternoon, 4:34 this afternoon, and 6:34 this afternoon. So those times, once again, to listen. In the morning, 8:34 and 11:34. And then in the afternoon, 1:34, 4:34, and 6:34. Hey, everybody, it's Christy Fulnecki.
Good morning, everyone.
And to you. I see you got the great reset there.
Yes, I had to read something. It was pretty funny. Sorry, Ken, guest host. I got some people that said, hey, what happened to you?
Yeah.
I got sick, and I was about to lose my voice.
You don't have to apologize to me. Sarah's the one who was left scrambling.
I know. I'm sorry, Sarah. But then that's what I just said. Feel bad because I shouldn't even thought about coming in when I was sick because you are pregnant.
No, nope,
you are with child, and you are a woman.
I am a birthing pod.
She's a birthing pod. She's a birthing person, according to Greene County.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Oh.
Going to take that away from you.
How dare you?
As a woman, don't get that anymore.
Yeah.
Boo.
Well, you know, but... So thank you. I'm sorry I can't do it. But
you
know, I was losing my voice, and when you can't yell at your kids and you can't yell in court, then that's an issue. So
that pretty much takes away all your incentive to get up in the morning, doesn't it?
I know that's right.
Say so.
I know that's right.
I was watching yesterday. They arrest this guy.
Which guy?
Yesterday, the subway shooter.
Oh yeah.
James,
or whatever is. Yeah.
Frank
he's
James.
Not on there.
Frank
yeah.
James.
Yeah.
Mayor Adams takes credit for his arrest. I'm watching yesterday.
I mean,
Did you watch the announcement that he was caught? So that you would have thought. Now I'm watching this thing, and don't get me wrong. I mean, yeah, you want to catch the guy, right? You could tell they were trying to capitalize on this. You would have thought they caught Bin Laden. I mean, first off, everyone under the sun gets to talk. They had like eight different people that come up, and so you know it's everybody's moment to shine. They're like, okay, now this is their moment in the spotlight. And then this, so that ding-dong mayor
Oh yeah, I mean
he has COVID, so he's quarantining.
He's a few knives short.
Yeah, and they're like, "Well, we're gonna go to him first." And you're sitting there waiting and waiting, and then you hear all these loud. It's like they're dragging furniture around. It is the most. You could tell they're trying to make this seem huge, like this momentous occasion, and it's almost embarrassing to watch him try to do it. And then he's like, "Ladies and gentlemen, we got him. We got him." Like, and I'm like, "Okay, tone it down just a little bit." And they all acted as if it was the greatest get ever. Well, then of course we start finding out.
I know
a number of different things. So he called the tip line himself. He's like, "Hey, that guy you're looking for is at McDonald's." And then he waits around for him, and then he kind of starts wandering around outside McDonald's, and they catch him. But it appears as if he's been just wandering around. This guy obviously wanted to get caught. He wanted to get caught. Some of the information that's come out has said that he actually got back in one of the other subway cars where there were people that he shot were in there and rode with him.
Yeah.
And then he was just riding around, walking around the city. And I'm thinking to myself, and New York City is a big place. I'm not questioning whether or not they should have caught him sooner or whatever, but it almost appears as if he was trying to get caught and got bored trying to get caught. And like, "Well, I guess I'll call him and tell him myself because I'm wandering around in the city. My face is plastered all over the place." Yet, you wonder if in his mind he didn't think within 30 minutes he'd be caught. And he just got so bored with not getting caught.
Well, can you imagine what Giuliani thinks about watching this whole scene?
Right.
Yeah. Well, and you know, if I was a reporter at that, I didn't see his press conference, I would say, okay, for one, why are all the cameras out in the subway? That is probably an issue, okay?
They're like, "That's not our jurisdiction. That's the subway service that handles that." Somebody did ask that.
Oh, they did?
Yeah, they ask about it, and they're like, "That didn't have anything to do with us."
And then I would kind of roll into, like, why is the crime in the subways up? Mm-hmm. I heard it was like 160%. And then I would say, you know, why did you take $1 billion out of the NYPD budget? I mean, there are a lot of things that you could ask, but...
This guy, he's been arrested like 9 times in New York, 3 times in New Jersey, so this is, you know, another one of these instances where here are jurisdictions that clearly... The message that this guy's received is that crime isn't that big of a deal. I mean, you get arrested that many times, you're still walking around.
Well, you know, and looks like he doesn't run very fast. So, I mean,
maybe it's big
bone.
It
can't be hard to catch him. I mean, well, that's what I was thinking. Like, if he would have voluntarily given up, would they have caught him?
Here's another thing that I found interesting. I kept hearing, so he apparently, again, according to the reports, is a pretty racist guy, you know, and like black nationalists.
I heard about
talking about killing Whitey and all this sort of stuff. I hear it described even on Fox several hours ago this morning that, you know, they caught him and that he had social media posts complaining about, I think, homelessness and racism. And I'm like, he wasn't complaining about race. He is racist.
Yeah, like, exactly.
No, I'm not saying he didn't have posts claiming that these people are racist or those people are racist. But when you are, I'm always, if it were turned around, and if you had some white guy that was into white nationalism, and he was talking about how much he hated black people and wanted to kill them all, and also accused black people of being racist.
Oh, that'd be all over the place.
Would they portray it as, well, he had concerns about racism? Of course not. I'm like, we live in such a dumb world of journalism and reporting and interpretation of things.
Well, you know, and I'm thinking, what, everybody is watching us right now, of course, and so what do these terrorists think when they think, well, look at this guy, I mean, he got away with all this on the subway. I mean, the sky's the limit if you're a terrorist in New York. I mean, that's a scary thing. What I mean,
this is a real good point, and it's
thank you
when you're welcome. When you do, you look at a terrorist, and you're like, if terrorists are kind of wondering, oh, I wonder if we can take on the U.S. And in fact, the Black Hawk Down incident that made Bin Laden realize that he could carry out 9/11, and he thought he didn't have, because of a response there, he didn't have to worry about any sort of big response from the United States.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah,
okay.
That's what he said in an interview when he saw us cut and run there. That is when he said we were just a paper tiger, and that's when he developed his plan to try to take us down. So you've got this subway incident. Yeah, that's a good point. They're like, this guy, like, he's wandering around the city for a day after he finally has to call the police on himself. Yeah, that's how, like, it appears right
he
now.
Gets his McDonald's
But not only that, we're told a bunch of unarmed people that goes wandering into the Capitol after they're let in, where they that almost overthrew our entire country. So if you're a terrorist, you're probably thinking, man, this place would probably be real easy to take over.
I know. I mean, you're walking around with a shake from McDonald's waiting for somebody to capture you. I mean, this is really frightening. And, you know, and then Biden, you have his mental competency. So you're wondering, like, what exactly are the ramifications here? And, I wonder, I mean, I know that there are probably FBI agents that listen to this, but, you know, I mean, they got a clean house in the FBI. I've tried to get them involved in a couple of my cases that were clearly there was, you know, a lot of corruption going on. And it was a federal case, a couple of them. And I mean, it's hard to get them involved in anything or the right activities, but everything's so politically motivated.
Well, that's because at least on the top level, and this is another part of the fold here, we continue to hear from the Department of Justice and, you know, on the top level of this administration that their number one priority and concern is white supremacy. I'm like, okay, you know, something like this happens, where are the white supremacists doing this? When was the last time there was a story about any shooting, whether it's a weekend shooting in Chicago or New York or St. Louis or Baltimore, or a mass shooting in which it turned out to be a white supremacist? When was the last time?
Yeah.
And that's not to say that there aren't white supremacists, but to claim they're the biggest. This guy, clearly not white supremacist. There was that shooting, I think it was last week, a mass shooting at some Club Taboo up in Iowa. Wasn't a white supremacist. Was it Sacramento a couple weeks prior to that? Wasn't a white supremacist. Last year, that synagogue was not a white supremacist. All of these shootings, and they're still out there like, well, we got to really keep an eye. Maybe if you stopped looking for this white supremacy concern that hasn't yet developed, and instead focus on the people who are actually killing people, maybe we can begin to get things a little out of, you know, more in line.
Yeah,
with reality.
I mean, it's kind of frightening, and you wonder, like, what can you do as an American? Because, you know, especially with public corruption, you know, our good friends the Williams, I have to give them a shout out because they're always on top of the news and send us everything. Yes. And I was actually shocked they sent that story about that Supreme Court judge in New York that got arrested for sex trafficking and for drugs. And so, I mean, and then, you know, the New York lieutenant governor getting arrested, was for bribery. But, you know, I'm hoping that that's a trend, because you kind of think, like, and I've said this before, you know, if you're an American and you're thinking, who is holding who accountable? Like, these are the people that are supposed to protect us, the FBI, Department of Justice, the judiciary, and these people are getting arrested.
They're protecting us from the white supremacists.
That's right. I know.
And they're doing such a good job. That's why we don't actually see it. See?
Exactly.
They are doing such a good job. That's why the white supremacists, the shootings and the militias and all of these other, I mean, they have to essentially, they have to create a Jesse Smollett scenario up in Michigan where they have dozens of FBI agents that essentially talk a bunch of handful of disgruntled guys into some plot that they weren't planning on their own, and it's like a Jesse Smollett but on a national level, and it's like they're desperately trying to create this thing they claim exists.
Yeah, and I would like to see what their profiling is. Like, are you looking for white hoods still? Are you looking
red hats?
Are you looking for me when I was in D.C. when we're in a big van, a family of eight, and
looking
we're trying to
hats.
Drive around? I know, red hats. Yep,
MAGA hats.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, what are you looking for? Because all the people, I mean, there was such a display of police force at the 4th of July with a bunch of law-abiding people that love America. I mean, those are the people that you're going to attack and profile, you know? Yeah.
Domestic terrorists.
Yes, we are.
All right.
Do you know what? I know you have to take a break, but guess what I'm going to do? Because I drive that big van. Well, my husband does now, but I'm going to drive those illegal immigrants to D.C. I'm going to volunteer myself.
Well, since anytime you're in that area, people think you're Hispanic anyway.
I know they do.
You shouldn't have a hard time getting in a van.
Yeah. The guys that were doing our roof the other day, I was talking to them. It starts being special. I'm like, no, habla español. You look like you. Oh, I know, but I'm not. Believe me.
Yeah, you should have accused him of racism. More with Christy Fulnecki, Springfield's Talk 104.1. I'm Nick Reed. Emily Johnson, House Theory Realty, new name, same great people. In fact, if you go to Emily Johnson's Facebook page, maybe you've already liked it, you can get her whole explanation about this exciting transition that she's been making. I talked about it that first week, but from this point on, if you're curious about it. But you're going to still get, I mean, this is a fantastic thing. It's a great thing. And if you're looking to buy or sell a home, I mean, read the reviews. Like I said, I've been shown a home by Emily Johnson, and she's straight up. She's honest with you. And if you're trying to sell your home as well, it's one of the things that's always been very important. When she was on The Great Escape with us, she talked about that, how she learned early on that her job is not to coddle. Her job is not to stroke egos if you are looking to sell your home. And her job isn't to convince you that she's the one to try to sell it by soft peddling things and telling you, oh, yeah, no, what they told you how much? Well, I can get you more than that. It's to be honest with you. Because your success is her number one priority. That's what you get with Emily Johnson, House Theory Realty. All of her information under Nick's endorsements at KSGF.com. The first alert forecast. High of 63 today, increasing clouds tonight with a low of 46. Chance for showers, storms 68 tomorrow, Saturday. Partly sunny with a high of 60. And Christy Fulnecki is here with us.
Yes.
I got a couple of Kamala Harris sound bites if you're interested.
Oh, yes. Okay. I want to hear her. She's not very popular in her home state anymore.
I didn't read the numbers, but I did see
they were bad. They were bad.
Was she asked about them? If she was asked about them, I imagine her response would be something along the lines of, "Well, the thing about the numbers is we should acknowledge that they are numbers." And those numbers are numeric.
And it's the thing about the thing and the thing.
Here she is.
And that we wouldn't understand anything
she said. Here she's asked about the two separate questions regarding the economy and inflation.
A lot of people go to the store and don't feel that their wages are going as far as they want them to. Then they get mad at the gas station. You're focusing a lot of that on the White House. And you've talked about pandemic. You've talked about supply chain and Ukraine. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But they're still putting that anger with the administration. Mm-hmm. What do you say to them?
Well, first of all, I acknowledge one must acknowledge that prices are going up.
Okay.
And that people are working hard and in many cases are worried about whether they can get through the end of the month and make it all work.
So that's the first question. Like, you just repeated the question. We must acknowledge first that we are going to acknowledge the acknowledgement.
Okay.
That people are having a hard time. Yeah, no, that's the. Yes, okay.
That's exactly what I asked you.
I want once a reporter to go.
I'm telling you right now, you have to remember she's an attorney. And this is very shocking to me. If I said that in a law school to a professor, I would get a total F. I would be kicked out of law school. And she was the attorney general of California.
It's embarrassing.
I mean, I can't believe that you talk like that. You speak. I mean, can you not come up with anything else? I mean, at least try to blame it on Russia or something.
And we've talked about this before. It's one thing if you're new at the job. She's not getting better.
No, I know.
There's no improvement. Jen Psaki, when she first started out, she was always saying circle back, and she was getting mocked for that. Well, she fixed it.
Yeah.
She stopped saying it. She, the areas that, and listen, although she was the spokesperson for Secretary of State under Obama, so she should have been better. It's not like it was a brand new job for her. But, I always give a little bit. It's like when a restaurant opens for the first few days. You got to kind of work the kinks out and everything. She's been doing this for a year and a half.
I know.
It's like you have not gotten better. A shorter soundbite, but another question for her.
Okay. People just want an end point. Do you have one to give them?
What I can say is that people deserve to know that their president, that our administration is concerned enough to do something about it. And so that is what we are doing.
You're doing what? Something about it.
We're hugging each other. We're all hugging each other. That's our solution.
These reporters, I mean, I know that they're all in the tank and they worked very hard to get these people elected.
Yeah.
Is there any self, is there any like quiet conversations about, can you believe how bad this is? Or even, I got an interview, secured an interview with Kamala Harris. Oh, what are you going to, do they mock her behind, or maybe, do they act like these are normal answers?
I think they just are so enamored with those people in, you know, Hollywood. I think they just love them and they don't care what they say. Because as long as they say they care about it. But, you know, I mean, okay, so you're an attorney and you're thinking, okay, people are concerned about food, gas. What am I going to say to that? And then you even have people that work for you that are supposed to prep you for questions.
And this isn't a new theme.
That's
inflation
what I'm
has been around since you all began pushing your economic policies. Yeah. In the beginning, they said, of course, it was just it was transitory, and then they blamed it on the supply chain, and then they blamed it on businesses, and now they're blaming it on Putin. So this isn't new. It's not like, oh my gosh, I haven't had time to prep for an inflation question.
I know. I mean, you've got to be like, if you work for her, I mean, my high schoolers could have come up with a better answer to that question. And it makes me think they just don't have an answer. They just don't know how to figure it out. Because they're like, oh, I don't know.
It also puts to me, perhaps lends some insight into the high rotation of people in and out of her office. I mean, people continue to quit.
Yeah.
And we are hearing a pretty consistent theme of the fact that she's just horrible to work with, toxic environment, she's not a very nice person. But here's the thing. There are a lot of people in Washington that are that way, and they don't have such high turnover. So what's the difference? And I wonder if part of it is like they're thinking to themselves, listen, if I'm going to be talked to like this, it's going to be by somebody who can at least form a complete sentence.
I know. That's right.
They watch a press conference and like, this woman thinks she has the right to talk to me like I'm an idiot.
Well, yeah, right.
Exactly. I would get out of a situation like that. And people do. There's levels of tolerability. And there are people that think, well, this is just part of the job. This is a very coveted job. This is part of making your way through the ranks and being part of Washington, D.C. But if you are being treated that way by somebody who clearly on a daily basis displays themselves as some sort of complete idiot, and then they treat you like an idiot, you can see why so many are like, no, I don't think so. I'm out.
Well, can you imagine the conversation that goes on in the Oval Office and with the cabinet and the big table, the cabinet, whatever that room is. I can't remember. But, I mean, between her and Biden having a conversation to each other and to their staff, I mean, it's got to be embarrassing. I mean, can you imagine? Like, well, I mean, some of the cabinet people are not, you know, the best either. But I mean, if you're Secretary of Defense or somebody or National Security Advisor and you're listening to both of them talk thinking, what are we supposed to do? I don't really understand.
Or just the wait staff. I mean, do you want steak or fish tonight? Well, the thing about the steak is that it is a steak, and I would like to acknowledge the other choice of fish that you gave me, and that is a fish. And then Biden just says ice cream. More with Christy Fulnecki, Springfield's Talk 104.1. I'm Nick Reed. Christy Fulnecki with us this morning.
Yes, I am here. Mm-hmm.
Did you have anything on your mind? I keep
well. No, I mean, this book is really good, Glenn Beck's book. And do you like Glenn Beck?
I do.
Yeah, you should, because he comes on after you, right?
Yes, he does.
Yes, he does. But it's pretty frightening. Everything, you know. In the beginning, I thought maybe when he first came out, when it was like 20 years.
It was.
Let's see, 15 years ago.
I remember when I was in Joplin, and let's see, it was after it was probably like 03 or 04, and the station I was on carried him.
Yeah, I mean, and I thought he would say stuff, and then I'm like, oh, that'll surely never come true. And then everything that he predicts comes true. So his book is really good. It's called The Great Reset, but I just want to read a couple of these, kind of funny. But, I mean, in the beginning, he said, don't believe everything I say, then you should look into it yourself.
Right.
But he asked, like, 30 questions, which you kind of already know the answer, but he puts them all in the beginning. And like, why were the massive corporations allowed to stay open during the COVID pandemic mm-hmm. while many small businesses were forced to close? Well, it's the war on the small business, obviously. Mm-hmm. And I thought this was funny. Why are people who claim that climate change is an existential threat to human life building mansions on islands and beaches despite the alleged fears of rising sea levels and flying around the world in private jets that spew carbon dioxide in the atmosphere?
He's just a nitpicker. It's just nitpicking.
I like the rising sea levels.
It's just nitpicking, isn't it?
Yeah, right. I can have my home on an island.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then there was a picture, I think it was a Breitbart, of Lizzo getting on her private plane, her private jet, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to lecture you, but I'm going to go do whatever I want.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So here's a new Quinnipiac poll. The starkness of these numbers. I would not have predicted it to be this.
Oh,
quick.
Really?
Yeah. Support among Hispanics. Only 26% of Hispanic voters approve of his job performance.
Wow.
If you had been told 10 years ago that Republicans would begin winning the Hispanic vote and there would be a Democrat president that only had 26% approval among Hispanic voters, you would wonder what on earth happened. And honestly, I think a lot of it is Donald Trump. Donald Trump began to... One of the things Donald Trump did with the categories of people that Republicans had been told you cannot win, and so they kind of just wrote them off, or they treated them differently. Republicans, when it came to the black vote, pretty much just thought, well, we can't, so what's the point in trying? With the Hispanic vote, they thought, well, we need to be soft on illegal immigration, that's what's important to them. And Trump realized that what's important to most people, regardless of skin color, is quality of life.
Mm-hmm.
Business owners, they come in all stripes. And so he treated them all, black, Hispanic, Asian, gay, straight, whatever, all the same. And that really resonated. And that, I believe, made also some Republicans recognize, maybe we can do this. And it also made the Democrats go apoplectic and double down in the way that they're doing things. And with the border in particular, I think their thought is, well, how do we start getting them back? Well, let's just open the borders and let as many, thinking that is what is important to Hispanic Americans.
Well, and the Hispanics that are legal in Texas, you know, their businesses are being jeopardized, their kids,
right.
The safety. I mean, they're for families, you know, many of them are Catholic that come over, you know, and people that come here illegally, they do not want their families torn apart and shot at, and they don't want their businesses being vandalized. And, you know, a lot of them are coming over, you know, they're criminals. And I think it's interesting how, I mean, you always think that, you know, our country is going down the tubes, which it is, but you have, you know, DeSantis and you have Abbott in Texas. I mean, and you have people that all over the country that are really, I mean, thinking outside the box. I love the bus thing, sending the illegal immigrants to D.C., you know, dropping off at Joe's house. But I heard something that Abbott was negotiating with the Mexican government to that they were stopping, I guess, trucks maybe down on the border, Laredo, wherever in Texas. But they were going to have security on the Mexican side. They're negotiating that. I thought, well, that's a good idea. I mean, you know, they're thinking outside the box because the federal government's not helping them.
They're training this week, National Guard, Texas is, to dispatch them to the border because everyone, this is the thing. Again, once again, remarkable about the Biden administration. No one is even denying that there is going to be a massive, huge surge of individuals, once again, because Biden is going to repeal this Rule 42 regarding COVID that allows those, you know, that just allows this massive increase. Plus, they announced we're giving away free cell phones. And so everyone, even Democrats, know there's going to be another huge flood, another surge of individuals. And so while we saw a few weeks ago, the Biden administration dispatch National Guard to, you know, make sure that those truckers don't cause any trouble, absent when it comes to the border. So you've got Texas saying, you know, we'll do it. And not that they shouldn't have a hand in it. But when you are having to dispatch the National Guard because of President of the United States is doing, because of the direct results of his policies that no one is denying, it's just nuts.
Yeah. I mean, it's frightening. And did you see the whole thing about the VA doctors?
Oh, yeah.
The administration is sending the VA doctors
down there to
to help them.
So, I mean, so for those of you who work in the VA or go to the VA.
That's so terrible.
Now, if you feel like you got way too many doctors to deal with, then this may not be that big of a deal. But the Biden administration, according to the reports, is going to start taking those doctors away from you all at the VA and shipping them down so that they can help the illegals that are coming into this
country. Like, the wait's not long enough.
Yeah.
I read something. It was the average wait is at least 22 days, and then it's going to, if they lose many of these doctors, I think it was going to either double or triple the time that they had to wait to even see their doctor. I mean, yeah, that's how you treat your veterans, you know, in the country. I mean, it's frightening. But the one thing I will say is at least the governors are doing, and you're seeing by all the people that are fleeing some of these states and, you know, all the conservatives that left New York City. I mean, people are just leaving in droves. And unfortunately, I guess that changes the voting base when all the conservatives leave. And then you just have, you know, a city that's burning itself to the ground. But
well, and of course, we all know and we all have concerns about people who leave those states but continue to vote in the way that states. And that, so they bring that disease, that infection, down to the states where people are making more responsible decisions. More with Christy Fulnecki here on Springfield's Talk 104.1. I'm Nick Reed. Friday Roadshow tomorrow morning at Scramblers, sponsored by Affordable Towing. Christy Fulnecki is here. Here's the story.
Okay.
Shots fired into air at National and Primrose in Springfield. Two security guards at Cox South called police after they heard gunshots Wednesday morning. The guards were walking the grounds of the hospital when they heard the gunfire. Police say someone in a white Cadillac fired three shots into the air at National and Primrose. I mean, this is what Springfield is becoming, and it appears still to total denial from the city leaders. They're, you know, too interested in being woke.
Yeah,
and,
right.
But
yeah.
You literally now have people driving around with guns in the air, just firing in the air.
And this is Springfield, Missouri.
Yeah.
Do you remember?
And the South Side.
I know. When I ran for mayor in 2017, I ran on high crime and that kind of thing. And everybody, because we had kind of that conservative slate, you know, that we all ran. And, you know, the main thing that we talked about was about how high the crime was back then. And then, you know, the chief and other people were saying, well, you can't use the FBI statistics.
Yeah.
You can't compare yourselves to other cities and you can't use per capita, you know, the per capita crime rate. Yeah. I'm like, what are you supposed to use then? Yeah.
And you can't use anecdotal evidence like people being shot at and stabbed all the time.
I know, that's what I was like, what are you talking about, people?
You can use our press release.
Yeah. And, you know, we talked about the whole podium thing about Bob Stevens a couple weeks ago and him getting mad that I would talk to the cops. But, you know, I talked to everybody that worked in the city because I wanted to know, what do you need? I mean, it's what do you need to do your job? And, like, you're shot at all the time. Well, if you would go and actually talk to the police and if the city council would focus on public safety, which that's what you're supposed to do, and over 50% of your budget is supposed to be on public safety as a local government, that's the only thing you should be doing. You shouldn't be worried about what flag is flying over the city hall. I mean, you need to be focused on crime.
Gotta get woke.
If you would go talk to the cops, I mean, they are way down. I mean, there are a lot of cops that have left in Springfield. And I hear it all the time because I talk to them. And they're like, Christy, it's terrible.
Every city that ends up becoming a safe haven for criminals, the people who run the city, excuse me, I have a tickle in my throat. They live in denial for a while about it. And a perfect example of this is what we're looking at in New York. Now, of course, it's been what it is for a while, but you got this mayor who runs on fighting crime. And so far, crime has continued to be a problem. The only two things I've seen him hold a press conference about was one, making Juneteenth a holiday.
Oh, yeah.
And the other was slamming legislation in Florida.
I know, that's right.
And I'm like, what are you doing? No, it's just their heads in the sand. They run on these things because they're like, okay, yeah, crime's bad. We're going to really tackle crime. But then they live separate from it somehow. They just, I think, hope it'll get better on its own. It'll just stop.
Well, you know, I mean, it's not like people haven't stopped crime before. That's the frustrating thing for me because I used to talk about it all the time, but Giuliani's book, Leadership, if somebody would give that to their mayor and say, listen, Giuliani did this a long time ago, and crime was very low. And I know some of the things, the broken windows, people don't like that, that he tried to crack down on the smaller crimes. But, I mean, you can't argue that the crime was low and that people wanted to visit New York and it was clean. And, you know, it was a place that you could take your family and not worry about drive-by shootings. So, I mean, if he wants to fight crime, why don't you follow that book? And, I mean, it's a brilliant, I guess, manual for any city that if they want to use it to do it. But in New York, they took like $1 billion out of the police budget and never put it back in. So I would say you probably need to put the money back in so you can keep your authorized force numbers. I mean, there are droves of police that left because of the mandatory vaccine thing. So, I mean, I can't imagine how much they're down right now. Cause, I mean, frankly, if I was a cop there, I'd be like, hey, they're, you know, people are recording us. We don't get the funding. You know, we're on our own. We're basically risking our life at this point.
A great deal of it is a culture that's created. And one of the struggles is it is very, very, very difficult to undo that. When you defund police, you reset a culture in which you are telling the criminals that we are not on the side
That's
of law
right.
enforcement.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, it's not as simple as simply saying, oh, well, we're going to refund it. Because the criminals don't all of a sudden go, oh, I guess they've reset their attitude. You know, it takes a very, very long time to undo that sort of damage. But right now, the mayor's approach on this thing, it is setting the wrong tone. And when it comes to catching this guy's been arrested over a dozen times.
Yeah.
Now, what the mayor should be out there doing is saying, okay, this guy has an arrest record as long as my arm. We have a real problem, and that is unacceptable that somebody can continue to commit crime after crime after crime, and we're going to work on being a city that is not a safe haven for these people. Instead, he's out there talking about figuring out or developing some new way to detect people with guns.
Well, you know, yeah, and exactly. And in New York, I mean, and arresting people during COVID with their businesses that were supposed to be shut down, and people with the vaccine cards right now, I mean, they're strictly enforcing that in New York, and they're focusing on all the wrong things,
you know?
I mean, it doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, as always, it's great to see you.
Yes.
I appreciate you coming in.
And
yeah, it was awesome.
Yeah,
it was a great hour.
It was the best hour of the week, really, on the show.
You know what? You're a real piece of trash for somebody that comes into my house on this show.
Can I talk for like 30 seconds?
Nope, you got 10.
Okay, it's important because Mike Moon's bill, they didn't give the information. I don't know if to contact Senator Bill White.
Oh, yeah, we did it in the last hour.
Okay, did you give the phone number and the email?
People can go back and listen to the podcast.
I'm glad that you said that. Okay.
All right, news in 60 seconds. I'm Nick Reed.